What God is saying to us in this book is the good news that Jesus Christ is the supreme Lord over all, exalted in heaven with all power to help us. And because he is Lord over all, he is the all-sufficient Savior for you and for me. The one who can help us, whatever our sin and our burden, an all-sufficient, perfect Savior. One who is one of us, our brother who's been through all the sufferings and things we endure in this life. And also one who is the Son of God, with all power, able to help us. And in particular, we've seen Hebrews says, he is our high priest in heaven. He's the one who goes on our behalf to God, who can intercede on our behalf so that flawed people like us can come before holy God because we have wonderful Lord Jesus there standing before us on our behalf to God. And as we've been looking at chapter 11, this amazing chapter reminds us that this salvation, the way that he so graciously saves us from sin and from death, is given to us through faith. Through faith. As it says in verse 1, faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this salvation is given to us when we believe what God says and promises to us. We can't see it. It's not something material and tangible in this earth. It's not something we work and create and earn or achieve. But in this promise in the gospel, God gives us this salvation. And the invisible, so the realities of heaven and eternal life, the presence of God, they become ours. We truly possess them. That we receive them. You could say they become part of us forever when we receive them through faith. A simple trust in Jesus. And what those opening verses in this chapter are saying to us is that faith grabs hold of these heavenly realities and makes them so real. They're life-changing now and affect how we live, how we walk each day. And there's a particular emphasis in this chapter on persevering in faith, on keeping going in faith, not giving up, not turning back, whatever difficulties come. And remember, this is a letter, this book, that was first sent to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted for being Christians. And that was so difficult. Some of them were tempted to just give up, to lose their faith, to turn away. And the application of the letter is, don't do it. Don't turn back. Where can you go but to this wonderful Savior? And he can help you through this. So keep going, keep persevering. And of course, that's an encouragement we all need to hear constantly. And so we come to verse 27 as we're continuing to look at Moses as a great example of faith. And I think this verse is like an inspiring call to faith, an inspiring call to arms. And what we see in this verse is how powerful faith is. By faith, we can do great things. We can overcome the most terrible fears. We can even, by faith, defy tyrants. That's what faith in the living God can help us to do. In his famous commentary on Galatians, Martin Luther, the Reformer, has this wonderful statement about faith. I want to read to you. Because the kind of way he describes faith is the things about faith that are really being said to us in this passage. He says, faith is a divine work in us, which changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different men in heart and spirit, mind and powers. And it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain, the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and all his creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything, out of love and praise to God, who has shown him this grace. You see, in this verse, we're told of how faith gave Moses the power to overcome the greatest fears and to lead Israel out of Egypt. Not because of anything in him, but because he had faith in the awesome great I am, the invisible. And this verse is calling us to have that same kind of confident faith in God, bold faith in God, to follow him anywhere, to suffer anything, because we can trust in him. By faith, he leads the people out of Egypt. So, as we were hearing in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord appeared to Moses, and at this point, Moses is about 80 years old. Remember, he was about 40 years old living in Egypt, and then he lived about 40 years in the wilderness with Jethro building a new life there, caring for his sheep, and then the Lord appears in this miraculous sign of the burning bush. And he gives Moses his holy name, I Am, and sends him on this mission to defy Pharaoh and demand Israel be set free. Now, sometimes when reading this verse about Moses forsaking Egypt, some have wondered, does this refer to the first time Moses leaves Egypt or the second? As I say, when he was 40 years old, you remember Moses had struck down an Egyptian guard. And as Acts 7 makes clear, Moses thought that was the beginning of the rescue of Israel. He thought that might lead to Israel following him and perhaps an uprising. But the Israelites themselves didn't recognize him as the deliverer. And that when Moses learned Pharaoh knew what he'd done, he fled to the 40 years in the desert. So I think that's not what this verse in Hebrews is talking about. Because in Hebrews chapter 2, it says on that first time, Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. He was afraid of Pharaoh, afraid to face him, afraid that Pharaoh would put him to death. And he flees. And so clearly this verse is about the Exodus and Moses' bold, fearless leadership. Those many years later, after the burning bush. See, this word that's in our Bibles translated forsake, it means he consciously, deliberately, purposefully turned his back on Egypt, defied Egypt, stood against Egypt. Not just that he ran away. Now, why is that important? Why does that help us? Because it shows you that Moses grew in his faith. So during those years in the wilderness, his faith grew. At first he was afraid. And who wouldn't have been afraid of Pharaoh? I mean, humanly speaking, remember, Pharaoh is the most powerful man on earth at that time. I mean, Egypt's a superpower. It's already had kingdoms for centuries. The pyramids have been standing for who knows how long. Pharaoh's incredibly wealthy. All the land must do his bidding. He's got armies. He's got vast numbers of servants. People saw him as being like a god-like being, a son of the gods. And there's this vast pantheon of Egyptian gods with him. Of course, humanly speaking, that first time Moses was afraid and ran away. But in the wilderness, God's been working on Moses. And then there comes this moment when everything changes and God reveals himself at the burning bush, that he's the I am. The one who was and is and will be. The one who needs nothing. That rather, all things come from him. He is being, and everything else that exists comes from him and by his will. That he's the great creator God. He's the same faithful God, covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the whole meaning of the symbolism of a bush burning and not consuming is, well, that's like God. He's a fire that burns and burns and will never go out. And he needs no fuel to sustain himself. But he has all life within himself. The glorious, transcendent, all-powerful God. You see, it says here in this verse, God is described as the invisible. Now, why is God described that way in this verse? Because this is so significant. This is what's so wonderful about this. How did all the people in the time of Moses think about gods? Well, they had statues. They had idols. And they created beings that would look like human beings or animals or a mix of the two. And all their concepts of gods were of these visible things that really they just existed on this earth like us. They were, sure, more powerful than us. You'd have a god of control of the sea, a god in control of the sun and all the rest of it. But they were still very much of this realm. Like us, but on the same plane of existence, so to speak. Visible. And oh so visible in the hundreds of thousands of statues of them all across Egypt. But here is God, the one true and only God, revealing himself to be on a level far above any of their tiny ideas about God. A God you can't make an image of, as he will tell us in the Ten Commandments, because he's so amazing and so vast and glorious. What can be used to picture him? An eternal God who's not part of this world, who's the sun or the moon or anything, but the one above it all, the creator of it all, so infinite in power. What a revelation of God. Perhaps because, you know, we're used to understanding and thinking of God this way as Christians, but like a thunderbolt that was onto the world. The great I am. Now we begin to understand why Moses wasn't afraid to go back and face Pharaoh. Did Moses even himself that first time have too small a view of God? Did he think of God being like the Egyptian gods? Oh, but now he knows. He's the God of the burning bush. The Almighty. So far above. This is why this word invisible is so important here. And so then he's armed and he's strengthened. Now he has this deeper understanding and revelation of God. And he's upheld by God's spirit. And as the verse says, he's not afraid to face Pharaoh. You see, by faith, his whole perception was changed. Now it's the other way around. Who or what is Pharaoh compared to the Lord? Remember when Moses first comes before Pharaoh? And he says, let my people go. The Lord says, let his people go to worship him. And Pharaoh so arrogantly says, who is the Lord? Who is this God I've never heard of? There's no temples, no idols. There's no place for him in Egypt. Doesn't he know that I, Pharaoh, am God in Egypt? Who is this Lord to trouble me and ask for my servants? Oh, Pharaoh, you fool. You fool. Who is Pharaoh compared to the Lord? And imagine, again, this visible, invisible contrast. Moses is stood there before a throne that would have been made of gold and all the decorations and finery of Egypt. Here he is, a desert traveler, a desert shepherd. But he looked to the invisible. He knew the Lord, maker of the heavens and the earth. And I think one of the great encouragements for us about this is that as Moses grew in faith to overcome his fear, so can we. You know, it can be so easy to idolize the saints of the Bible. You know, to think of them being like superheroes. able to leap over all their fears and problems in a single bound. But don't you see, Moses was just a man just like us, a sinner and weak. And he had this extraordinary calling, but it's all by faith. He trusted God, and these wonders happened. And obviously you and I are not going to have a calling like Moses to lead a people out of slavery, but we have the same faith. We have the same awesome God. And perhaps there are things that terrify us and make us afraid. But our faith can grow like Moses as we know God better, as we know more of this great I Am. And by faith, we can triumph. We can overcome. I mean, who is the Lord, Pharaoh said. Well, he's a God so great, Pharaoh, he can control your own heart and your mind. And he'll harden that heart, Pharaoh, to make an absolute fool of you so that judgment and ruin comes on Egypt. That's how almighty he is. So this is a great example of something that the scriptures are always telling us to do. To face fear with faith. When people make us afraid, when evil people intimidate and scare us, we're not as Christians to be cowed or overwhelmed. We're to look to the invisible. We're to remind ourselves of how great our God is. We're to trust him that, as Psalm 97 says, he is reigning in heaven. That's how we overcome the fear of man. I mean, thankfully, we're not facing any furrows in Britain today. But there is a growing spirit of intolerance that would try to silence us and frighten us as Christians. There's this increasing oppressiveness that, as a Christian, you should stay quiet and not speak up for the truth and not rebuke the sins of our age and not to share your faith. And you know there's these increasing threats of losing your job or being branded this and that, socially ostracized, if you dare to say, I'm a Christian and I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, we need to take a page from Moses' book. And don't look at all those forces raised against us. Look at the invisible, the great I Am. You know, it's the exact same thing the Lord says in Luke chapter 12. When the disciples were being bullied by the Pharisees who were trying to threaten them and all the other wicked earthly authorities. And he says to them, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, they've no more that they can do. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, God, who after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, why fear human beings? Fear God, who judges, who's in control, who's above all. We've got so many examples in Christian history of Christians who by faith defied tyrants, who with bold faith faced up to the most incredible fears. We've got in Scotland the example of the reformers from just a few centuries ago. And you know that in order to be Christian, to bring the gospel, they had to defy kings and queens and the Pope, who had armies. And you might know one of the most famous of them was John Knox, who, by all accounts, was a real firebrand. And he would very publicly challenge the Queen and some of the corrupt authorities. And someone once asked him, how do you dare to challenge them so boldly? Don't you know they'll cut your head off? Aren't you afraid to preach this gospel? Mary, the Roman Catholic queen, and she'd put many Protestants to death. And Knox replied, one does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings. Doesn't that just sum it up wonderfully? One does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings. Now, whatever the fear is, the work of the enemy, whatever attack comes, whatever that evil fear is, what is that if you've been on your knees before the King of Kings? Brothers and sisters, as I say, I think this verse calls us to have bold, confident faith in God, to be inspired to do great things for God, to do bold things for God by looking to the invisible, like Moses. So it is important that we really know our God. We really understand the truth, the doctrine of God that's being revealed to us here. And we must know him in two senses. We must know him in the sense in our understanding. Our understanding of who God is. That as we see in the burning bush, he's the great I am. Transcendent above all. But also we've got to know him in the sense Knox meant it when he prayed. That we cultivate a rich personal relationship and communion with our God. Spending time with him and seeking him. Coming to him in the means of grace in the church. Not just that we know about him, but that we know him. And as we do that, we'll become fearless. If the Lord is on my side, whom shall I fear? Who shall make me afraid? It says Moses endured. That's another word in this verse, he endured. And from what I have been able to learn, this word that's translated endured, the actual word in the original only appears in this one place in the Bible. And it doesn't just mean hanging in there by your fingertips kind of enduring. It means you boldly face something. Not enduring in the sense of keep your head down, get through something. But it means lifting up your head, facing the wind, facing the storm, having a faith like that, that you boldly go to do God's will. It's the kind of faith that I think you see in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And that's the moment when King Jehoshaphat was leading God's people. And they hear there's this terrifying threat. And the church and the people of God seem to be finished. Because the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Seir have all united against God's people. They're going to come and they're going to wipe out the church. And God's people are hopelessly outnumbered, unprepared. But Jehoshaphat looked to the invisible. And it says in the scripture, he set himself to seek the Lord. And the word of the Lord comes to him. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Go out against them. Because the Lord is with you. And then the children of Israel go out to the battlefield. Not with their swords, but they go out with their instruments. Singing praises to God. Now really, really, let's get hold of that. There's this vast horde of enemies coming to kill them, this massive army. And they've got such a bold faith, they go out there singing. Praising God armed with their instruments. Wow, that's faith. That's the kind of faith it's talking about in this verse. To boldly face evil, boldly face fear. And of course, in the great mercy of the Lord, all the enemies were scattered by God. It's the same spirit of fearlessness that when Moses comes with Israel to the Red Sea and they're trapped and there's no way out, And there's panic and Pharaoh's coming with the army. And what does Moses say to them? He says, do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. See, when our worst fears come and anxieties come, they are liars. And they always say, there's no way out. You can't get through this. This problem's going to be the end of you, Christian. It's going to crush you. Everything's doomed. Just like Israel must have felt with no way out. And the Lord says, that's the moment for faith. Trust me. Stand still. See what your God can do. And then there's this wonderful moment in the midst of that. It says, God spoke to Moses and he says, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Isn't that extraordinary? Don't you trust me? Go forward. See, God is not a God who just burly rescues us and rescues his people, who just about manages to defeat his enemies. who just saves his people by the skin of their teeth. No, he's the I Am, who's so great, he utterly triumphs over evil, utterly demolishes and humiliates the forces of evil. A God who gloriously saves his people and vindicates them, who gives us a complete salvation in Jesus Christ that cannot be taken from us, but that will bring us safely to the kingdom of heaven. He's a God who makes the sea part. And so what bold faith we should have to go out and live for him this week and do his will. Do we perhaps need to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, are we shaming the Lord by not trusting him more? When we give in to our fears and don't act or believe with such faith, are we forgetting how great our God is and not looking to the invisible? When we say, I'm finished and there's no hope for me in my sins, we need to look to the invisible and see he's the awesome God who saves. And as a Christian, we should never despair. We should look at this great example in the faith of Moses. Just one final thought. The scripture does not say Moses saw him who was invisible, as in past tense, that's something he did once. No, it says seeing the invisible, a present, continuous tense. This is something that Moses did continually. Every day, he lived by looking to the invisible. Every day, when he's in Egypt, when they're on the Exodus, as they come to the promised land, every day, he's having to look to God and lean on him and trust him. See, God doesn't give us like a stock of faith, like a stored up vault full of faith that you just call on, that you just look back to the past. Every day, there'll be new challenges. Every day, a need to keep coming to him, to keep trusting him. Trials may grow bigger, but the answer's the same each time. Keep looking to the invisible, the one so almighty, there's nothing so big he can't handle. And so really, brothers and sisters, trust him tonight and put by faith everything in his hands. And may God give us the grace to have faith like Moses. Look to the invisible and don't fear man. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for these inspiring examples of faith you've given us in this chapter. Even that we see some of your people by faith subdued kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, endured all kinds of suffering, and did great things, Lord, for your kingdom. All because by faith they trusted in you. They looked to the invisible and they knew your infinite and eternal power and goodness. Heavenly Father, we want to ask for your forgiveness, often for our lack of faith and our unbelief, that we do not trust you as we ought. And we're so easily overwhelmed, Lord, by our fears and problems. Oh Lord, increase our faith. Help us to truly know you, to be on our knees before you, that you are the invisible, the eternal God, and that nothing is too difficult for you. But please, Lord, give us bold faith, that we would boldly share the good news of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.